Merkle Media.
Of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I'm Scooney U-Turn Singleton.
And if you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. There you can leave us your emails with your crazy experiences, and we'll have you arranged to be on the show. Now, if you don't want to be on the show for a whole interview, you can go ahead and leave us a voicemail on our voicemail line. That voicemail line phone number is 515-585-MERK or 6375. That's 515-585-6375 or MERK, Merk. Leave us a 5 to 10 minute voicemail of your crazy experience from the road. That's fine. But if you got something more than 5-10 minutes, dude, you just got to email us.
Get
on the show and have some fun with your life. My Lord.
Yeah, we have a good time.
Yeah, we do. Dad, why don't we tell them a little bit about the emergency preparedness?
We should do that. I think that's a good idea.
Yes, sir.
If you want to get prepared for an emergency, and the thing is, when an emergency is, you can never be too prepared. So get yourself ready. Don't be a reactionary. Be someone who is proactive at it. And you can do that with www.preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They have everything you need for emergency circumstances.
Yeah.
They really do. Food, air purifiers and water purifiers and lights and generators and all kinds of stuff. So if you need it, and you may, and in the coronavirus era, you will.
And it's the thing, like 25 year shelf life for the food. So you don't have to worry about going bad. It's going to last you 25 years, and most of you are going to be dead in 10 years anyways. Doesn't matter.
Wow. Tony's positive.
There you go. No, but seriously, with hyperinflation going on right now, listen, the world is very unbalanced. So make sure that you have your pantry balanced and have some emergency food in it.
And really, when you think about it,
family.
Yeah. When you think about it, like exactly what you just said, you know, the inflation going on right now, buy it now, because in a year, it's going to be twice as much. It's going to be cost you twice as much.
And that's the thing. I mean, our food that we are offering right now is going to go up in price when things go up in price. It's just the way the market works. And so you can get it now for this price, or you can get it later for a higher price if you can even get it later.
Yep.
A lot of things going on. Maybe one day we'll go down that conspiracy road. It's not even conspiracy, it's facts.
Just look around you. Listen to the news. Well, no, don't listen to mainstream news.
Now, here's the thing.
Sorry about that.
And here's the thing. Like we're spending too much time on this, but I just want to tell people the only reason why we do this is because we actually care about you. If we didn't care, we wouldn't offer these things. Like I don't need to talk to you guys about these things and bring these things up. It's something that, you know,
if it's not something that we cared about
for complete strangers, you know, but in all honesty, whether it's preparewithhll.com or going down to your store and getting an extra can of beans or whatever, just get yourself prepared. Just get yourself prepared, because it's bananas out there.
It is.
Anyways, Dad, who do we got coming up today?
Today, Tony, we're talking to Josh, a driver on the West Coast who's just got a lot of good stories to talk about, and let's get to him.
All right, today we got Josh on the show. Josh, how you doing, man?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
Doing good. Dad, say hi.
It was coming.
I mean, last time you had to say it yourself, so I figured I'd do it for you.
How are you doing, Josh? It's good to talk to you.
I'm good. Thank you. You too.
So, Josh, I was trying to figure out, because I had you on the schedule, and today we were supposed to be interviewing somebody else, and the guy, the connection wasn't working. So I was trying to find somebody else to talk to today. And I saw you on the schedule for next Sunday, and I was like, okay, let me see what we're talking to him about. And I couldn't find the email anywhere. I'm like, what the heck? And then I saw on the schedule note that I made that I guess we connected on MeWe, and I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, thanks for coming in and, you know, coming in the clutch for us and giving us a show for tomorrow.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks. Yeah, no problem. Not at all.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. That is really nice. So thank you very much.
Yeah, we've had to reschedule a couple of times. So I figured, hey, you're jumping on it, so I might as well too.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, all right. How long have you been driving truck, bro?
About 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
And you're loving every minute of it.
Oh, I honestly do love my job.
There you go.
There you go.
Spooking, less spooking.
As much as there's frustration on the road, you know, with these four wheelers, just I still love my job. Yeah. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, you got that right. It's your own little office on wheels.
Yeah. Yep. My own little world. I do what I do, and I go home to my family.
Yes.
Now, what industry are you driving in right now?
The fuel industry.
Fuel industry. Is that where you started?
Well, I started off as a gopher in a warehouse here locally where I live, just a yard dog pretty much, and started from there. It was kind of like a propane, farm ag diesel, red diesel, you know, they had their card locks and stuff. And so that's how I got started. I was able to get licensed and get fully endorsed through them. And, kind of just got passed over, you know, after 5 years of having my license. And I mean, I understand it's a business, you want to make money, you know, but I wasn't really going anywhere. And I got passed over probably about 3 times. So I just put the feelers out there, and a company were about 15 minutes, 20 minutes from where I live now, took the chance on me, and I was there for about 5-6 years. Yep.
So
that's how I started getting into driving, transport, I should say.
So, I mean, you didn't go in there as a driver, so they trained you?
Yeah, they trained me there. I started off, it was a propane place, so we filled up propane tanks, you know, all kinds of propane tanks, mm-hmm. went out and did, propane jobs, set propane tanks. Basically wash the trucks, shipping and receiving, kind of just a jack of all trades, but master of none type of deal.
Yeah.
You know, but, this company that was hauling fuel, they were in need of two drivers. And, I hit them up, and a week later I was driving, pretty much got thrown to the wolves in the industry and survived.
Yeah. That's kind of how it works most times in the trucking industry.
Yeah.
You know, you go to school and it's the same way. You go to work for a, you know, company that trains. And then once you got your license, it's like, okay, here's your paperwork. Have a good day. See you when you get back.
Yeah,
be safe.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. But the last company I worked for, they're great. I've gone within this fuel industry. I'm with the second company now. And the company I work for now is honestly just way better because I do one product now, ethanol, the additive for gasoline.
Right.
But the previous one was gas, diesel, biodiesel. What else? That was pretty much the three things. A little bit of ethanol. That's how I got actually into the job that I'm at now, was meeting some of the ethanol drivers. But I love my job. There's nothing like it. You know, I if I couldn't drive, I wouldn't know what to do, honestly. I just honestly love my job.
You know, I often think about that too. I as somebody who grew up in a trucker household and all that stuff, I think about what my options were outside of truck driving. I'm like, not
Slim Pickens.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, or did you go to school for anything? No,
I barely went to high school. What do you mean did I go to school for anything?
Yeah. So yeah. It's just like I try to think, like, you know, what would I have done outside of driving? And I'm just like, oh gosh, nothing. Like, I don't know what I would have done. Yeah. So I hear you. Now, what kind of, like, fuel driving are you doing? I mean, are you doing, like, home deliveries or gas station deliveries or what?
No. Well, like I said, the previous job, we were doing our own stations.
Mm-hmm.
Gas, you know, we had a couple of, I don't know if I could say the actual company, but.
You can, yeah.
Well, Shell Company, we had a couple of Shell fuel stations. We had two major truck stops on the 99 and the I-5 corridor. So he pretty much had it all sewed up on both highways. So we were running pretty heavy. You know, I honestly learned a lot on my own and with one of the older drivers there. Learned a lot about working double logbooks, but, you know, I got thrown to the wolves,
yeah.
I am not playing. It was kind of brutal. And one of the reasons why I chose to come to this next company I'm at is because, you know, I work less. Mm-hmm. I get paid more. Honestly, I get paid more.
Mm-hmm.
With this COVID last year, I probably got parked a total of 2 months.
Wow.
And I still came out 10 grand ahead of what I used to make.
Wow. That's fantastic.
So, I cannot complain about this new company I'm at. I've been there for a year. So, I'm loving every minute of it. You know, I go from facility to facility. I don't have to pull hoses, have to worry about blocking off pumps, people getting pissed off because, you know, why don't you come later when there's no one here?
Right.
I'm telling you, there is no good time to offload. It's always busy. I mean, especially when you have a 24-hour, you know, a gas station.
Sure.
Even 2-3 in the morning, you know, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. You got 10 cars waiting in line and it's like there really is no good time.
Yep.
You know,
that is the truth. I see it all the time driving at night. I mean, I drive at nighttime and you go to pull in someplace to get a cup of coffee. And, you know, I see the fuel delivery guy is there and he's trying to get into to where he needs to be. And there's people coming in and people going out.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know how you guys have the patience to do it, but thank God somebody does. Because, you know, I'm just pulling in to get a cup of coffee. I want to pull in and get out. And, you know, I've got a 53-foot trailer. I'm trying to get into, you know, Sheets or wherever, you know. And it's like, well, whatever. You know, that around here, that's the local, coffee stop, you know, the convenience store that's, you know. But it's crazy. And Wawa. Well, Wawa, Sheets, Rudders.
Yeah,
now we're doing a commercial for all the
Wawa's the best. Wawa's the best. Absolutely. No, but I thought about going in and working for Wawa, driving truck for Wawa.
Yeah.
And I talked to the people there and I talked to one of the drivers there. And I mean, they treat their drivers great and everything. And now this wasn't fuel. This was delivering
the goods for
the store and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
I mean, like, I mean, they start you off at like 30 something an hour, full benefits.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But you earn it.
Yeah. Oh,
I
mean,
those guys work hard.
Yeah,
yeah. I look at those guys. You sit there when you're drinking your cup of coffee at, like, you know, in the middle of the night watching these guys unload and you're like, no, thank
hand
you.
Trucking a whole trailer into a store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't do that. Nope. There's a company like that called Southwest Traders and I think MTC. And I don't want to touch freight.
Amen, brother.
I'm doing now, I'm touching freight just enough.
Yep. Yep. Just is not happening.
That's what kept me from really going through with it. Cause I was like, man, it's really good company. They treat people good. And everybody just loved them. Uh-huh. And I was talking to the employees and But I was like, man, I'm looking at these guys and I'm like, that looks like my back hurts.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Tony, when you say you're a P&D driver, I'm like, even that, I'm like, oh, I feel bad for you, dude. I would not survive.
Well, the key is to earn your stripes and get to a point where you can pick a run that you want. And that's what I did.
I'll tell you what my idea was. I was a P&D driver from 1993 until 2000. And when the first line haul opened up at Pitt, Ohio for me, I was like, yes. Are you still interested in this? Yes. I don't care if I'm driving at night. I don't have to touch the freight. Yeah. I just hook up to my trailer. I go to, you know, wherever, drop it, hook it, and go.
Well, for me, it was like the ideal run was driving from my house 20 minutes to my terminal, getting in my truck, hooking up to my trailer, and driving 20 minutes back to my hometown that I live in and spending most of my day in the same town that I live in. And so when that came available, that's what I did. I knew all the streets. I knew everything. I knew the worst delivery spot, the hardest spot to deliver to. You get used to that, you're fine. And you know, you learn all the people's names that are your receivers and everything. Eventually, they just you back in and they're already hopping on the trailer to pull their stuff off. Everybody knows what their freight looks like. It got to the point where there were days that I didn't have to touch freight. Wow. I just didn't have to touch it.
That's because you got into it. When I first started with Pitt, I was at a 9 o'clock start, which was a cleanup, you know, kind of cleanup utility guys. So, I would start from the Eastern PA, so it's Eastern Pennsylvania, and drive all the way across New Jersey making deliveries all the way across to Newark or Bayonne or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so it wasn't, and my days were always different. I'd be in Northern Jersey or way North Jersey or, you know, down into Central Jersey.
None of that's good.
I never knew what customers I was, like, I didn't know what my day was. I never got to know the customers. I didn't have that type of thing.
Yeah, I know.
And that's why when it came up, like, hey, you know, we're looking for a road driver. Yes, I'm still interested.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, with me, because I when I got my trailer license, we had just started bidding, and for whatever reason, a 9 o'clock start for Chester County, PA opened up for me, and I was like, yeah, I'll take that. It was a beautiful area to drive. And I did that for 2 years. Then Lindsay had quit her job, and we were planning on, you know, starting a family, and she was going to be a stay-home mom. So I was like, I need more money.
Right.
So I went on call and I started driving, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and doing a lot of Philadelphia, wherever they needed me to go.
Right.
The cleanup, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember they fired this one guy. Which was crazy why he got fired. I still don't understand. He was wearing an Eagles jersey, and the one player name is Fletcher Cox.
Right.
And so he comes in wearing his Eagles jersey, and the lady in the office said, she's like, I like white Cox. And he laughed, and they both got fired.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So he was running Ben Salem, PA.
Yeah, he was.
And and so he was running Ben Salem.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. But he was running Ben Salem, and they just trained this one guy, and he was a straight truck driver, got his trailer license, and it just wasn't going well for him. I mean, he had people, from what I understand, customers were calling saying, don't send this guy here anymore. He can't hit the door, all that stuff. Wow. It got to the point where he went back to driving straight truck.
Well, you know what? Oh. Stay in your lane. Do what you know. Yeah.
Yeah. But they had guys that were floating.
Stay in your lane. It's not for everybody. Nope. You can't do it. Can't teach that.
That's exactly it.
But
either you got it or you don't. Honestly,
yes. They had guys that were floating in and out doing Ben Salem after that guy got fired, and the other guy couldn't apparently drive trailer. And so the problem with doing Ben Salem, it was a 9 o'clock start, and Ben Salem was like an hour and a half away with traffic, and by the time, you know, you're leaving the terminal, you're looking at like 11 o'clock, and then you got to drive. You're getting up to your first stop at like noon, and then you got about 4 hours to unload 15 to 18 deliveries before they start hammering you with pickups. And guys just couldn't keep up with it because they didn't know the area. But I did know the area. And so the one day they kept on giving me like these crappy options in the morning because I was on call. So like, you know, they call me at like 5 o'clock and they're like, you can do 9 o'clock Ben Salem or, 6 o'clock Center City straight truck. Well, I'm not doing the Center City straight truck 6 o'clock. I'm not doing it. Okay. Like ain't happening. So I was taking these 9 o'clock starts and losing 3 hours of pay. And it just got to the point where I went in one day and I just said to Jason, I said, Jason, just put me on the 9 o'clock Ben Salem run. I'm freaking taking it all the time as it is. So just give it to me. And I ran that for a while and I loved it because I loved the area, got me away from the terminal and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I knew the area well, but yeah, I don't know how I got on that. Long story short, I wound up getting
too late.
I wound up getting bumped off of that by a guy above me in seniority, and so I took the run that had my hometown in it because nobody wanted that because it was so close to the terminal. You're not making no money, and I was like, "Well, I'll take that." And so I took it, and you know,
rest is history.
The rest is history. You know, it's
and here we are now.
Yeah, it was a great run. It was a great run.
But wow. You know, I agree with you, Josh. I, you know, as frustrated as I get at times with the job, I still love doing what I do.
Yeah,
I really do look forward to it.
Driving's fun.
It is. It really is. It's one of those jobs that, you know, really, I mean, even though you drive for a company and you follow their rules and all those things, when I say what I'm going to say, I don't mean that none of those things apply, but you're your own boss. You get in the truck and there's nobody breathing over your shoulder. It's just do your job, do it safely, do what you need to do. You know what you have to do and you're able to just go do it. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
And that's what I love.
I think that's what it is. You know, I guess growing up, I never liked being told what to do. Uh-huh. So now that I have my own, you know, I'm routed. So I do 2 loads a day. I work no more than 12 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, I live 30 minutes from my yard. So, you know, I'm home fairly early. I start my day about, I wake up about 1:30 in the morning, you know, and I start my day. I got an hour and 45 minute drive for my first load, you know, and it's just back and forth from one city to the next, from one facility to the next. I don't get dirty. You know, my boots are still clean. You know, when you're pulling hoses, you're bound to get spills. You spill diesel or gas all over you. You know, it happens, you know, it does happen, you know, so I'm, and then having to deal with these customers who think they're entitled to the pump. So when you got your cones out, they're moving the cones and like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm blocking it off for a reason. Well, I need to get fuel. Well, you're not going to get none if I can't drop it.
Yeah, right.
Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
I could tell you story.
I imagine.
Any fuel driver, it can tell you story after story of the stupidity we have to deal with when you're dropping fuel. Oh, God. I think it rivals the stupidity that you see on the road. I think it surpasses that.
That's
what
crazy.
You see on the road is nothing compared to the stupidity that happens when you're trying to drop. I mean, I've had people run over my cones as I'm dropping and act like I'm the one that's the idiot. Like, I'm the dummy.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, dude? Yeah. Back up, turn off your car. And you turn off your car, you're not moving until I'm done.
Right.
No, screw that. Well, let's see. All right, we can call the cops.
Yeah, or we can both blow up. I mean, what do you want? Here's your choices.
Yeah, exactly. I had one dude. Oh my goodness. Wow. They weren't related. They weren't even driving together, but they were on motorcycles. So I have everything blocked off, and I'm already dropping. And the first guy comes in between my cone and my drop point, just cruises on by like nothing's happening, you know, like he's just a careless driver and he's got a care in the world. And then he parked himself by the air pump because he needs air. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, what? I needed to make a U-turn. I was like, seriously, bro, I got my cones out. I'm dropping fuel. That's freaking dangerous, dude. What the heck's wrong with you? Only I didn't use those kind of words, you know? Not but 5 minutes later, another motorcycle driver with a driver on the back, a driver with a passenger in the back of him comes up to the pump where I still have the drop point. I'm still dropping, comes up to the pump and kind of runs over the cone. And I grab his handlebars and push him back as hard as I could. He almost lost the passenger falling off the bike. I was that pissed. And he gets off the bike like, what the heck? And I'm like, all right, I'm to the point where I'm going to knock you out, even with your helmet on. You know what I mean? I'm going to do what I got to do because this is dangerous.
Yes.
He proceeds to tell me, I don't have any signs up saying I'm dropping. And he didn't realize it was that dangerous.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
All right. So listen.
Exactly.
If there's a big tanker.
And you're at a gas station.
In a gas station parking lot. That has hazmat, flammable, explosive, whatever hazmat you have on that that tanker for that drop.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. He didn't realize gas was that dangerous.
Like really. Just
right.
That was his. And that's exactly what it
that's
is.
That's his logic.
And Josh, that's the thing, dude, that you're talking, wow, about earlier. It's and I don't know what it is, because it's not that all people are stupid, but there are. It's just something about when people get behind the wheel, there are certain courtesies and common sense things that kind of seem, exactly, to go out the window, mm-hmm, when it comes to maneuvering, yeah, around other vehicles, especially it seems like us, the big trucks.
Yep.
And
right.
I totally get it, man. Mm-hmm. Like there's this place in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania that I would go to deliver to. It was a steel plant. Mm-hmm. It was just a tiny steel place. And you'd have to pull it's literally a driveway for cars. You pull the trailer up this driveway of cars, this steep hill. You back up to this one door, and they come out with an old rickety forklift to pull off their steel for you. I mean, it was a tiny place, family owned. But when you're coming back out of there, you're going down this road, and you come to a T in the road, and you know, you make a left or a right. And whenever you gotta make a right, the cars, that there is a white line, there's a sign that says stop here on red for a reason, and it's way back, because when the trailers come off this road and they gotta make that right turn, they gotta take it wide. You know, most of the time people are over that white line, and I just butt up onto them, and they have to it's like obvious what they have to do. They have to back up.
Yep.
And you know, they do it. And just this one time,
somebody wasn't moving.
Tony lost his temper. Now, listen. I have the green light.
Yep.
I got to make a right-hand turn. You came over this, way over this. I mean, I'm talking like her front bumper was literally in the path of me pulling forward.
Wow.
You know, like she was way over. Like she would have had to like break her neck to look at the red light that she was underneath, kind of thing. So I'm like, what are my options here? My options are pop my brakes, or let me just wait until my light turns red, let her go, and then go again. Pop my brakes, get out, and explain to her why I need her to move.
She needs to back up.
Or I pull forward as far as I can go until I can't go anymore, and she realizes she needs to back up. So what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to do the third option, because I ain't getting out of my truck, and I'm not waiting for through a light cycle.
Right.
Well, she starts backing up, and as she's backing up, and she's got like kids in the car, so she's giving me the finger and cussing me out and stuff.
Wow.
I'm like,
you're the bad guy.
I'm like, do you understand how stupid you are? And I freaking flipped. Like, I rolled my window down and stuff, and I'm yelling out the window at her as she's backing up, and I'm like, I'm cussing at her back and everything. And then she gets to the point where I can get around, so I pull up just so our windows are parallel. I stop, and I'm yelling at her, cussing. I'm like, you fucked up,
Nice.
You know, like, I was going off. I was pissed, because I was like, how dare you cuss me out like I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
Like, I'm just, exactly, look at what I'm driving. And look at what you're doing. Like, there's a sign there for a reason. You know, like, I was going off.
Exactly.
There's that really big wide white line that you're not supposed to pass when you come to a stoplight, you know.
Like, I'm getting high blood pressure right now just thinking about it.
Oh, God. I can tell you this one incident. As an older lady, so I'll give her that, okay? But it was still no excuse for the stupidity that came out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trying to block my two pumps. Well, I should say three. Cause with the way it's the two pumps on the outside and one pump in the middle. So I got to block everything off to drop, cause all the drop points are at the end, where I make my U-turn. Well, not U-turn, but when I make my right turn, so I can set up and drop everything how I need to. While I'm pulling up, and this older lady is looking at me confused. So I get off, I set up, and I see her trying to pull in where I'm going to start dropping. So I put my cones out, and she goes, excuse me. I was like, I thought she was going to ask me, you know, a question like, how long is it going to take? Or is it safe to fuel while you're dropping? But no, she proceeds to tell me, excuse me, shouldn't you be over there? Cause they have a, they have diesel pumps on the right side of the facility. Well, of the gas station. Right.
Uh-huh.
So there's truckers fueling up. It's only the two pumps. Shouldn't you be over there with the other big trucks fueling up? This is for cars. I honestly had no words to tell her other than, are you kidding me? Like, that's what came out of my mouth first. And she looked at me like I was a stupid one. I was like, ma'am, I don't need to fuel up. What I need to do is drop my fuel so you can get gas. But I don't need diesel. So why are you going to drop? Why are you? You need to go drop over there. And I was like, are you serious?
Yes,
like,
gasoline is tapped right into the ground. It comes right into the pump. Good from Mother Lord. Nature, all refined I and mean, everything. Like,
if it wasn't for her age, I literally would have just, I wanted to slap you know what out of her, dude. I mean, yeah, I was dumbfounded at the stupidity she Man. Just, I was like,
yeah.
And then I told her, no, ma'am, look, you see these holes here that are colored white, red, you know, I said, that's where the fuel goes so that it goes into these pumps and you can fuel your, oh, that's how it works.
Wow.
Oh my God, dude.
You know, that's the thing. Like the frustrating thing is when you have somebody, and I don't know how her attitude was, but, and actually, Josh, I don't even know if we even asked you where in the country you drive. Where do you drive at?
I drive here. I'm out of Fresno, California.
Okay. Oh, Fresno. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, the yard is in Turlock, but we have a Fresno yard here. So
okay,
that's here. Yeah, I'm on the West Coast.
So okay. So like half the people on the West Coast are smoking weed and they're high. They're laid back. On the East Coast,
half the people on the East Coast are just cranky and
we're miserable. And
they want the weed. So
miserable,
they can be laid
son
back.
Of a gun. It's like, we are miserable, and so. And I don't know how her interaction, like her attitude totally was, but like what drives me insane is when somebody comes up to tell you how wrong you're doing your job and how inconveniencing yeah. you are to them when exactly. they have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
It got to the point where I was just like, yo, I'm not even going to entertain what you just said. I'm going to act like you didn't even say anything to me, because if I say anything to you,
I'm going to get fired.
Yeah.
The thing about that is the owner to the stations we delivered to, those were his station and those we drove for him.
Right.
So he cut out the middleman altogether.
That's smart.
And this guy, he knows, because he was a driver. He actually started off as the cashier, believe it or not.
Wow.
Started off as the cashier. Cool. And the American dream. He's, well, they say Persian, but he's from, I think, Iran. But they fled here because of the persecution of their own, from their own people, of sure. the religion that they were. That was the story. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he came here to the United States, started off as the cashier in that little spot. And then eventually just worked hard and saved his money, got a truck, started driving, bought that place. And then from that place, he bought, you know, a couple more places. And until he's honestly, he's doing big things. You know, they get paid by the load. And for the amount of hours I was working and with my wife's health kind of declining, I couldn't do it anymore. So, you know, I stuck it out as long as I could. And, you know, that's crazy to think that he started out as a cashier, owns that station he worked at and multiple others, you know, and he's pretty much got the West Side sewed up with I-5 and, you know, over here on the 99, he's got that pretty much sewed up too.
Wow.
You know,
that is good.
I just couldn't do it. That's, you know, it was too long of an hour, too much. I mean, I wasn't, no, get me wrong. I'm not complaining about because I love my job, but with my wife's health, it became too much. You know, it was too stressful home wise. And, I told them, you know, I wouldn't mind staying here, but I know I would let you down because I cannot work more, honestly, more than 12 hours. I have to be home. So he was understanding, and I just kind of worked it out, you know, as much as I could, and found a different job that I'm at now. And I love it. You know, I honestly, it's easy work. It's, you know,
right.
And the pay is good. I love my job. I can't stress enough, honestly, dude. And I, you know, it might sound cheesy, but I don't wake up dreading going to work.
Right.
And I don't wake up happy either, peeing all over myself because I'm going to work. But, you know,
I don't either. Trust me. Ask my wife.
You know, I love my job though. You know, it's not a dread where it's like, oh, right. God, another day. You know what I mean?
Yep. I do. So. I really do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You said that earlier about the whole 12 hours thing. You said, I don't got to work any more than 12 hours. And to anybody who isn't in the trucking industry, yes, 12 hours is about average.
Yeah. So, anything less than half a day.
People are like, 12 hours? Oh, that's such a long day. And you're like, no, actually, that's a nice day.
That's
a short day. Exactly. So, yeah, that's my 9 to 5.
You know? Work 12 hour days. You know, it's weird because now that I think about it, and there's days where I have worked 8 or 9 hours, but it's just because I get a load canceled or whatever. And it's like, God, I got literally the whole freaking day.
Yep.
Cause I start so early that I'm still home. If I have a short day by 9 in the morning, you know, it's like, wow. Hey, that's, I'm cool. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Cancel the load. I ain't going to complain.
Yeah. I'm home.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's literally a blink of an eye. You know, it's a blink of an eye. What 8 hours, you know, it goes by quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
But now indeed. I'm spoiled because there's days where I have to work. I've had to work 14, maybe a 16 hour day just because of getting held up and stuff. Oh, God, this dog. Sorry.
It's okay.
I got an Amazon delivery, I think, and it's just, they go nuts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's
all
right. It's okay.
But no, I totally get, you know, I mean, there are nights where I've got to do a 14, you know, lately it's been really busy. So, you know, we're hitting, you know, 12, I'm doing 12, 13, 14 hours a night. But it's the nature of the business. It's the way it is. And you understand that
in truck industry,
you don't always like it, but you get tired and you're like, well, it is what it is. At the end of the week, my, you know, my paycheck looks good and it doesn't bounce. That's all it counts.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep, that's it.
I'm a happy man.
yeah, for sure.
So, all right, you had some, you know, close calls driving and stuff, but one kind of stands out, I'm sure, and that's the one where you probably almost died. So tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those deals where you get mad because you're getting held up no matter what you're doing in the morning. It's kind of like you're having a bad morning. But I, looking back on it now, I thank God for those hangups. And I had some issues with loading in the morning, which is sometimes it happens. I mean, sometimes you can't get a shipper and you're frustrated because you got to, you know, call dispatch and, hey, send me another shipper because this one's out of allocation or there's no products to load or whatever. So we're going through shippers until you get the load that you know, basically win the lottery and you're able to load. So that happened in the morning. And then I'm on my way and you're just getting held up with traffic, which is no big deal. It happens. So you just kind of roll with the punches. And coming up to the, was it 41? Yeah, the 41 up to the I-5. And I just kept hitting all the red lights up to Kettleman City. I mean, there's maybe what, three or four stoplights at the most. But when you're trying to get to your destination as quick as possible, because you're getting paid by the load, you know, you're getting irritated because you already got held up at the rack. And then you're hitting every freaking red light on the 41 up there. Then you're in Kettleman City and you're still getting red lights. You're like, what the heck is going on? So I'm at the final red light where you make your left hand turn and get onto the I-5. And it's green, so I'm thinking, oh, thank God, finally, the last light is green. Thank you, Lord. And I'm pulling up to it, and it turns red. I was like, what the heck? So I would sit there and wait, and I'm just steaming, because it's like, really? I caught every red light up here. Finally, I get onto the I-5, and I'm trucking along pretty good. And you're in the downhill. You're going into a downhill, so I'm picking up speed. I'm probably already about 65 miles an hour. And honestly, if I didn't get held up at that red light, I would not be alive today. You know, oh God. It still shakes me up.
Sure. It really does. I can understand that.
Cause literally if that light was green, I would not be here. I'm coming down and I see in on the left hand, on the left side of the freeway, I see this car going and over and another one spinning out. I'm like, holy, you know what?
Yeah.
And I'm busy paying attention to that I don't notice this freaking box truck beelining straight for me. And thank God that light was red, because it was about maybe two car lengths, and I'm talking small little four cylinder car lengths away, and it crossed in front of my path up the side of the hill. And I mean, it was like a scene out of the movies. It came across the median, slammed on the floor. There was sparks everywhere, and came flying right across me, right across my front end, up the hill, and landed on its side. So I pull over, I'm shaking like crazy. I mean, I was shook up. I called 911, let them know the location, and let them know that, hey, I'm in a tanker. I can't be pulled over on the side of the freeway this way for that long. So this is a location, and this is where it's at. You know, I apologize, but honestly, that's the rules of the road anyways.
It is.
You can't be, for a tanker with hazmat material, especially flammables, you're really not supposed to pull over. But I was too shaken up. Mm-hmm. And I probably was there for about 10 minutes just making sure, you know, nothing else was going to happen. Had my flashers on, you know, talking to the cop. I pulled over while I was talking to the 911 operator. And it probably took me about 5-10 minutes after that before I, you know, was on my way again. I was shaken up that whole day. Like, I could not stop shaking just thinking about how close I came, you know, to not being here on this earth anymore. And that, more than anything, just like I said, even just talking about it and kind of reliving it, you know, it shakes me up, because you know, I learned my lesson now, and that was a huge lesson learned, you know, to be patient, basically.
Right.
You know, God's got everything under control. He's got your life in his hands.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wonder sometimes when people do go to heaven, and it's a wonder why sometimes, you know, you're saved from something like that. It's just, I've learned to be patient when it comes to things in traffic, getting held up, you know, and I mean, it may not be a big deal to some people, but you know, just learning patience in that way is, hey, whatever happens, happens. When I make it to my destination is when I make it. I'm not going to rush it. I'm going to just enjoy the ride, because any ride can be your last, honestly. Yes. Any ride can be your last.
Yes, you got that right. In this industry, and it's so dangerous in this industry, you know, being in a hurry is not worth it. And,
no.
And like you said, you know, being patient when things seem to be going awry. I can't tell you in the 28 years I've been driving how many times that's happened, that you know, things are there. It's like, what's taking so long? Why is, you know, what's taking me so long to get going?
Yeah.
Why is my load not ready to go? I want to get going. I need it. And in, you know, 15 or 20 minutes on my way after I left the place that I'm leaving, going to the next terminal or whatever, you know, you get a message across the computer, hey, there's an accident at such and such a place on the road that you're going on, in the same direction you're going. And you think to yourself, you know, if I had not been there for an extra hour or an extra 15 minutes or a half an hour, whatever it is, I may have been that far down the road that I'd been engaged in that. So you learn, you really do. I've seen it many times. You realize and you learn, you know, you're right. God does have everything in control. And there's a reason for something, you know, there's a reason that these things are going on. And sometimes you just have to sit back and say, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Cause, well, yeah. And when I first started with this company, honestly, he didn't care how fast we were going. And when I tell you that, because our trucks were not governed. Somebody told me, I'm not going to say who, but someone told me my truck was, it governed out at 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not going to say who said it.
So somebody tried it. That's what you know.
Yeah, you got somebody tried it. Yeah,
somebody had it rolling.
Somebody had it going, and you know, we got our job done.
Yeah,
but I look back on it now. When you're young and you're in this industry, and you think you're trying to prove something to someone, to an older driver, or to even these younger drivers that are out here. You know, right. Oh, my truck's faster. Oh, this or oh that. You know, oh, I get my job done in this amount of time. Oh, it took me this long to get here from there. Now I look at it and I'm thinking, how stupid was I with what I was hauling to be that naive and thinking I was such a badass. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back on it and I'm like, you know, it's stupid. It really is. And I think that was a wake up call for me, even though I got paid by the load. And when you get paid by the load, it is frustrating when you do get held up.
Sure.
You know, I get, you know, a lot of drivers, you know, we all get paid by the load. And so you're trying to hurry up. And I mean, even now I see trucks, you know, in the number one lane, and they're freaking jamming, you know. Like the other day I was in the middle lane, hammer lane, and I was, you know, cruising at 60 and just trying to pass another truck to get back over to the right lane. Well, this, meat wagon was frustrated and zoomed past me in the number one lane, and I'm like, well, I guess it's your ticket, buddy. I mean, I'm already in the hammer lane going as fast as I can go in the hammer lane, so either you're patient or your ticket.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it easier for me. I mean, what you guys get paid by the mile for you and load for you, Josh. And, you know, I've only ever been paid by the hour.
Right.
So it's like,
yeah,
for me, it's like, whatever, putt, 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 right. Putt, putt, putt. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I am now. Now I get paid, you know, overtime after 8, you know, and so I get paid by the hour now with this job. And that's how I am. Right. 57, 58 is as fast as I go. And, you know, it is what it is now. Mm-hmm. The longer I take to do my job, you know, and it doesn't take that long. Right. I mean, I can usually do it in about 11, 12 hours. So it's not a bad day, you know, and if I'm really going, if I really going about 63 and just keep it that way all day, you know, I can cut it down to about 10, 10 and a half. If I don't mark that I take, I got to mark that I take a lunch, but
right.
If I do it while I'm loading or offloading, you know, it cuts my day a little shorter,
right?
But then I'm only hurting myself, you know? So I've learned to just cruise it, take it easy, take my lunch, you know, and just do my job safely and get home to my family, you know?
Cause you know, ultimately that is the goal of every driver, man or woman. I don't care what it is. I don't care who you are. Your ultimate goal is to get home safely to your family. If you've done that, if you've done that every day, that is, you know what? I've had an accident. I've had somebody turn left in front of me on the highway from the right hand lane to use the median when they were 520 feet from the exit. And I hit them T-bone at 65 miles an hour. And it's not a pretty thing. And I, you know, when it first happens, you're shaking, like you were, I was shaking from the accident. And, but you don't, it didn't, the total weight of the accident did not hit me until I had gotten home from work. Finally, that I didn't get home until in the afternoon till they came and towed the truck. I rode with the tow truck driver all the way back to the terminal. We were like, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours out or whatever, maybe an hour, hour and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
Until we got back to the terminal, and I drove an hour home to my house from the terminal, and I'm sitting there, and I think, were you home? Were you talking to me that day?
Yep.
Yeah, you were sitting at the house talking to me. Tony was at the house.
No, I wasn't at the house.
We were talking on the phone over.
Yeah, you texted me, and I think we called or something.
Yeah. Your mom, Michelle, had gotten up. She was working nights at the time. She got up in the afternoon, and she goes, "What are you doing home? What are you doing up?" And I said, you know, I had an accident. And she started to cry. And she was really worried. And at that moment, I realized just the situation I was in, just how close it was, just how easily it could have been my last.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we, you know.
Yeah.
So ever since then, it has been, you know what, you take your time, you slow down. You don't ever, you know, you don't ever try to second guess what somebody else is going to do. If you're not sure, back out of it a little bit. It's funny because, you know, the guys riding in the right-hand lane had his four-ways on. I mean, who in the world expects that they're going to turn left to use the median from the right-hand lane and not use the exit that's 520 feet, literally, from where he turned, it was 520 feet to the exit, one-tenth of a mile. And you're just like, wow, that is just crazy.
Yeah, I think I would have, I don't know. I imagine you would have been, you were really shooken up and stuff, but I imagine, I don't know, Dad. I'm sitting here just getting pissed off, just hearing you tell a story again.
I know.
Like that guy, I wish I could see that guy right now.
And it's funny because, when the cops got to the scene, they knew exactly what happened when they got there. They walked over to the truck, and then, you know, I opened up the door, and he goes, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He turned left in front of you, didn't he?" I said, "Yes." He said, "That was it. That's all he said to me." And he turned around and walked away. And other than that, you know, there was just a few little, you know, comments. Is everything, you know, after that, then they came back. Was everything okay? Then, you know, all that stuff went on. But I totally understand what you mean, Josh. It shakes you up, and you feel just so, you don't know what to do. You're like, you got to decompress for a little while. You've got to try and wait it out and let your nerves calm down. It's a hard thing. That's what people don't realize, how dangerous it is what they do. You know, what's going on, you know, with the big truck, they don't stop. They can't just slam on the brakes and stop like a car can, you know. And even a car, I mean, you slam on your brakes at 65, you're going to skid for, I don't know, how many feet, 100 feet, 150 feet. You try and do that with a big truck on wet roads, and you're just sliding, and that's it. You know, and that's what it was.
I mean,
so
it's crazy. I thank God, because I was in a truck and trailer, which is a bobtail, and then you got your tongue, and then your trailer, attached to it. And I even now I think, God, what would have happened? Because on the 99 in Merced, there was a Williams driver. I didn't know. I knew of him. I met him on the rack a few times. I didn't personally know him. And I honestly don't know what happened, what the story was, but he ended up, I think it was, he took the curb too fast on one of the exits. And my brother-in-law is a CHP officer out there. And, he rolled his tanker and went on to be with Jesus, you know, and it caught on fire and it ruined, a few buildings, around where he flipped. And my brother-in-law was saying that it just looked like wave after wave of like a wave of fire after wave of fire.
Wow.
And when people were describing how crazy it looked, it just, because everything that he had in his, it was a full load. I don't know what he was carrying. I'm assuming it was 87 gas. And it just lit up and he didn't make it.
Wow.
And so that was kind of what stuck with me is I that's not, if I go, I want to go quick. I don't want to have to suffer like that, you know. Right. It just, and so when that happened, I think back on it now, like that was insane that I caught the red light. Well, it wasn't insane, it was Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, I caught the red light and was able to come home shaken up, but I came home, you know.
Yes.
And just thinking of how massive that could have been, you know, on just what would have happened if I caught the green light and he would have got hit.
Yep.
Cause I guarantee he would have hit me dead on the cab, and that tank that's behind me would have just went up in flames.
Oh my word. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy cause it wasn't a tanker, but it was a diesel. I don't know what he was hauling, but, I was going northbound 99. I'm sorry, southbound 99, and the truck was coming northbound, and this was probably, I was probably, it was in a Selma area, and I was right around Manning, which is about a mile, maybe mile and a half, probably about a mile from one of the exits there, the last exit if you're coming northbound from Selma. And I see this huge ball of fire. Like, and instantly I'm thinking, oh God, one of the tankers just rolled over somehow and just freaking went up in flames. It wasn't a tanker after all, though. I guess it was just whatever he had in his fuel tanks just went up. But to see that, I was like, holy crap, that is insane.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, as much fun as this job is, and we sit and we laugh about some of the stories, this job itself is no joke. You know,
no,
it really isn't. I mean, we experience goofy things on the road, and we tell the stories and that's the point. And sometimes that's the point of the show is, you know, this job, it's fun. And these are the things that happen to truck drivers. These are the things that they experience. These are the things that they see. These are the things that happen to them or around them. But the ultimate tale of this is that this job is no joke. You know, everybody thinks truck drivers make a ton of money, and we do get paid well to do what we do, but there's a reason why.
We get paid enough. We're not complaining when we live.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
We're not rich.
Nope. Exactly. But there's a lot of danger involved in the job. There really is.
Yeah, there is.
So we take it seriously. You know, truck drivers take what they do very seriously, and they learn to enjoy it and live with the seriousness of the job. That's just the way it is, because any day could be the last. This is not like going to the office and you're like, I'm just going to go sit and do on my computer and do what I do and then go home. No, this is, your life is in it, and everybody around you, their lives, and they don't even know it, are in it.
They don't realize
that. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they don't realize that.
And that was something I told one of the, I was dropping fuel and, the same thing. The guy, thank God he wasn't over my drop point. He was, it's kind of hard to explain, but I was dropping premium, and the premium was towards the back of my truck, back of my trailer. And where this guy wanted to put fuel was towards the front of my trailer. And I haven't touched it yet, because I normally drop from trailer to truck out of habit. So he runs over my cone, and I hit the front of his, I tapped the front of his hood with my hand, and he's looking at me like, what the heck, bro? And I'm like, dude, what are you doing, bro? You know, he goes, I'm trying to get fuel. I go, you can't, dude. I'm dropping fuel right here, bro. It's dangerous, man. You need to back up. And he has his daughter in the truck, and he's trying to get big and bad with me. And I'm like, look, bro, I don't want to make you look stupid in front of your daughter, but I'm about to. I said, what you just did, it's so freaking careless and so freaking dangerous that you put your daughter's life in danger. Not only did you put your daughter's life in danger, you put me in danger and everyone else in this area, putting fuel in their cars in danger because you are in a hurry and you want to get fuel. I said, bro, this is dangerous. Dude, if by any chance there's some kind of a leak that I can't detect and your hot muffler or whatever is in your engine is too hot and those two things combine, cause this whole place to go up in flames, bro.
Right.
I'm not trying to be a jerk to you, dude, but you need to back up or you need to turn off your vehicle and wait till I'm done, because you're in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving you a chance. You're far enough, but you need to back up or turn off your vehicle, and you're not going to leave. You're not going to leave until I'm done. That's your fault for running over my cone. You see what I'm doing here, but you chose, because you got a lifted truck, you choose to run over my cone because you're in a hurry, bro. How selfish is that?
Right.
Yep. You know, it's like, I'm so glad I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm just going from one facility to the next and just dropping my load. I really, you know, you don't really talk to anybody else unless there's other drivers dropping the same kind of product, you know, and it's less of a headache. I'm not as grumpy when I come home, you know, cause you're just dealing with stupidity all day.
Right.
So yeah, it's less stressful. Now that I'm home early, you know, my wife's still with her health, you know, has some health issues, and it's put less stress at the home, you know, in our home, and you know, we're surviving day by day. We're still making it, you know, even though she's not, you know, bringing in her income like she used to.
Right.
Thank God I get paid enough, and I just got a raise too, just a couple weeks ago. So I'm living good, man. I'm living good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Indeed. you know, I'm listening to you talk about this guy in the smacking his hood thing and running over your cone. It reminded me of a time where when I was driving Chester County at the time, Chester County at the time here in Pennsylvania, and I come into a big industrial park, and there's I don't even know what they were doing. There was this like contractor, and he had a hose going straight across the parking lot. And I assumed if you have your hose going straight across the parking lot, it's okay to run over. And I ran over his hose, and he didn't like that. I saw him coming up my mirror because I had to pull up to stop because I was waiting in a line. And he came huffing and puffing up there and stuff. And he's cussing me out and stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? And he's like, you ran over my hose. Well, you think you're a big bad trucker. And I was like, bro, listen. And I explained to him my assumptions. And I said, if you keep talking to me like that, you're going to see how big and bad I am. Like I was ready to jump out of the truck and just like, I'm going to rock your world, bro. I don't got kids. Like it's just me and my wife at home. She'll find a better husband when I get locked up. Like it is what it is. Like at some point, like I just, the temper just gets to me. And I was like, I was just in my head. Cause he's like at my door. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm just going to open my door, smack him in the face of the door, then jump out with my steel tips right across his face, knock him out, give him a couple boots.
Well, what kind of contractor was he? Like, was he just watering?
I think
grass?
He was doing something. I think he was doing something where, like, with the cutting the cement and stuff. Oh, okay. And so I just assumed that, like, you know, he had to going straight across a parking lot with all this traffic. I was like, right. Yeah,
it's cones. Yeah, there was nothing. The entrance or anything.
Yeah, so and I was just like, well, that, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It's not a big deal. I just assumed. And if he would have came up to me and just been like, hey man, like dude, you destroyed my hose or something, like, oh man, I'm sorry, you know, here's the number for my terminal, we'll right. pay for it, you
here's
know 10 whatever
bucks, buy another hose.
Yeah, whatever, like I wasn't gonna pay for it, but right. I mean the way he approached me, I was like, bro, I'm going to bless you with my boot. Like I was like I I just remember, I forget how, I think it ended because like I think he, I forget what I said, I don't even remember what I said to him, but like I think he understood that he
finally registered.
Like I think he was like, okay, I've said enough here, and he kind of walked away. And I was like, I was really glad he did, because I was just ready to have a party.
Yeah,
I was ready to have a party. And I was like, you know, I got tactical advantage here, upper ground. I'm just gonna jump
I'm
out,
up high, dude.
These steel tips are gonna go right across his face. It's gonna be so much fun.
It's an elbow off the top rope.
I was like, yes, this is the moment I've been waiting for.
I'm 12 again. Here I come.
I'm made for this.
Jimmy the Superfly Schnooka, oh off God. The top hey, rope.
I was just gonna say that.
This is gonna be so much fun.
Oh man.
But oh, didn't God. Happen. Probably for the best.
It was, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I got lucky, because there's probably a few times where I probably should have got fired. But like I said earlier, the owner, you know, those were his stations, and he understood what it was to be, you know, approached by idiots.
Right.
So he was very understanding, and honestly took our side all the time, basically. You know, all of the time I would tell them, hey, this is what happened. As long as we told them what happened, they can kind of verify it on camera, because you're being watched as soon as you drive to the parking lot.
Sure.
So he had a really good, on all of his properties, he had really good camera systems. So you can hear everything clear as a bell. And I told him, hey, this is what happened. This is going down. So if you get a call, just know it wasn't me. I was trying to be polite as possible until I couldn't. So,
right.
Just letting you know. All right. Thanks. And I never heard anything. Every time I've had to tell someone off, every time I almost got into it with someone, you know, never got reprimanded, you know,
good.
Really good company.
Yeah.
Just could not do the hours, you know, that we were having to do.
Sure. Sure.
It's understandable. Because it was three drivers here in Fresno. We had another two drivers in Bakersfield, and we ran the truck stop in Bakersfield and the two stations he had, plus the stations we had here in Fresno area. So, I mean, and that small station took a load in the morning, a full load of 87, and, you know, probably another half a load of it. So we would do one full load. to fill up the tanks in the morning, and then the second guy would come in and do half a load of the gas and then half a load of diesel. Mm-hmm. And then the third guy would come in and do a full load of diesel, and then we would all go to Bakersfield and help out those guys out there, take care of those fuel tanks, and then come back to Fresno after being most of the day in Bakersfield, grab another load, and then fill up the tanks again. Like I said, it was a 24-hour place.
Yeah.
And there was no good time. There literally wasn't, because our last load for the day would be about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, sometimes 6 or 7, just depending on who was the last one in. And we would have about 3,000 gallons left in a, what was it? 10,000 gallon tank.
Wow.
Something like that. By morning, by 3-4 in the morning the next day. Yeah.
Wow.
We filled it up twice. Sometimes we'd fill it up 3 times a day. It was just that busy.
Oh my word. That is crazy.
Yeah. It was nuts. The amount of fuel was that was going through there.
Yeah. That is crazy. But you know, Josh, it has been a blast talking with you. And as we wind this thing down, I just want to make this as today's PSA. If you see a tanker truck at a gas station dropping fuel and you see his cones up, stay away.
Just stay
clear.
Exactly.
Don't ask them questions. Don't go near what he's doing. He's doing his job, or she's doing her job, whatever the case may be, and let them do their job. The cones are there for your safety and for the driver's safety.
Yep.
Let that stand as a PSA for people.
And if you see any tractor trailer or truck, any commercial vehicle on the road, just leave them alone. Stay away. Don't talk to us. Just let us alone.
Stay out of the lane.
We don't want to be your friend. We don't want to high five. We don't want to talk about our job. Just stay away.
If you're a little kid and you're driving by in mom and dad's car and you give me the toot toot sign, I'll toot toot my horn at you.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying. You know what? I don't care how much we don't want to talk to nobody. If I had this one old lady, and it had to have been her grandson driving, but there was an old lady. She was an old lady. She pulls up beside me, and I'm like, what the? And I'm looking because they're keeping pace with me. So I finally look out the window, and she's doing the horn sign, and I'm like, oh, shoot.
That's her. That's awesome.
And she was like giving me the high five. I was like, oh, that's cool. I don't care how big and bad you are. If someone's doing the air horn sign, just blow your horn.
You got that right.
Yeah, I you know.
That's it. I'm with that.
I think there was about a year and a half period of time where people would give me that air horn sign, and I'd try, but my air horn didn't work. So, hey,
you have to roll down your window, hang your head out, and go toot toot.
I'm sorry. The air horn's broken. Talk to Pitt. Talk to the company.
Josh, this has been a blast. It really has. Thank you so much for talking with us.
You guys. It was really fun. Cool. I got more stories too, you know.
Fantastic.
And I also, for a future show, I used to work for the county coroner picking up dead bodies.
Wow, no kidding.
Hit me up.
Are you a freaking body snatcher?
Yeah, you can say that. I did that for a while.
You call into the voicemail line as the body snatcher? Is that who you are? All right, man.
Well, we'll have you back on. We will. That sounds really cool. It'd be another great conversation.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show. Right,
share it. You got that right. Share it. Share it everywhere. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it on whatever social media you're on. There's all kinds out there, too. There's ones that I don't even know, that I didn't even hear about until I'm talking to you or talking to your mom. So share it on social media.
Just share it around. You're all listening to me right now on a cell phone. Take the stupid link for this show and just text it to your friends.
Yeah.
You got coworkers. If you're in the transportation industry and you got, you know, coworkers out there, text it to them. Do me a favor and text it to them. And then when they listen to this outro and they hear me saying to text it to your friends, they're going to know why you text it to them. Not that you actually care about them, but that you're just following orders. Either way, I'm happy.
Yeah, but you know what, too, is in that vein, if you know somebody who drives and they haven't been on the show, if you know somebody who is a truck driver, if you know somebody who's an EMT, if you know somebody who does driving a lot, tell them about the show. Tell them to come on. Tell them we'd like to talk with them. We'd love to set up an interview. Actually, it's not even, and don't even call it an interview. It's a conversation. We're not interviewing people. We're not asking them questions.
Yep.
We're having conversations. So share the show.
Sure.
Amen, bro.
See us.
keep the hammer down.
Oh, yeah.
In the hammer lane.
In the hammer lane. Yeah. Bye.
You forgot the freaking... What? You just sit there like that. I'm done. You did your drop mic thing. And you did what I did. All right, I'm out. Yeah. It's all good. We're over.
I'm done.
Kill it, Sam.